Welcome to Begin With Yes with Paul Boynton on Empower Radio, a show to help you create and embrace real personal change. You can overcome the challenges in front of you. You just begin with yes. Here's your host, Paul Boynton.
Hey, thank you, Brent. It's great to be here. We're so fortunate to be part of the Empower Radio family and grateful to all of our listeners, too. Right now, we're ready to begin with yes. My guest is Kenny Brixey. Kenny is an author, coach, and an in-demand speaker who creates and facilitates personal growth seminars and workshops assisting individuals in discovering their own unique strengths and reaching their full potential. And today, we're going to be talking to Kenny about believing in ourselves, being responsible for our own well-being and happiness, even during difficult times. Kenny, it's so great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's so great to be here. I've been looking forward to this since we first talked about it.
Well, you and I were, I was on your show a few weeks ago, the show that you and Cheryl do, and we had so much fun talking. And your show's an hour, and even that sped right by. So I think this will this half-hour show will move right along.
Yeah, first, time does fly.
It does. First, I want to say I love the work that you and Cheryl are doing on your Facebook page, Simple Steps. How did you and Cheryl meet?
Oh, it was wonderful. We met through Facebook and through some chats that we were having. I realized that she lived about an hour and a half away from me here in Texas at the time. We had planned on getting together, and then at about that same time, Jack was diagnosed with leukemia, and things got really crazy in her world. So we went up back and forth trying to set up a face-to-face meet, finally did so months later, and it turned out to be about 3 days before she and Jack moved to Oregon. So we had the one meeting that we sat down maybe an hour with each other, and it's turned into this beautiful friendship and relationship.
Cheryl I think that if she wasn't doing the work that she's doing, she would have been a great matchmaker, don't you think?
Exactly. A great networker.
Yeah, she is. She's always connecting people, and she's just such a wonderful presence that I think you and I are both lucky to be calling her a friend.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny, go ahead.
I was just going to say she is as authentic in person as she is, you know, through her Facebook pages and everything. She's amazing. Love her.
She really is. I hope she's listening, so she'll be blushing a little bit, but she's a really dear friend. You know, Kenny, I appreciate the topic that you suggested for today, because I, like you, am a big believer that ultimately we are each responsible for ourselves and our own sense of well-being, and even for our own sense of happiness. Could you talk a little bit about that, though, to get us started?
Yeah, it's it all came about through one of my personal journeys, and I realized that I was throwing blame and using other people's actions as an excuse for me to be where I was, and where I was not pretty at the time. There was a lot of anger, a lot of hate, a lot of sadness, a lot of loneliness, and I realized that I had to make some changes, and by taking personal responsibility and picking my own actions instead of waiting on somebody else to do something and me respond to it, it was me creating the actions that I wanted, creating the change. That kind of led me to start looking into it. Am I the only one, or are there other people? And it turns out that everybody, if you want to see change, positive change especially, in your life, you have to take responsibility for the actions that you are kicking out there every day.
What was there a pivotal turning point for you? I mean, can you think of that moment where this dawned on you, or was it more of a gradual awakening?
It took about two years really for it to shape up enough for me to see what it was. I there was a pivotal point, and it was the day that I got a phone call that my 18-month-old son had died, and that created. That opened me up to realize that my life was not what I wanted it to be. I didn't like the fact that he was in Florida and I was in Texas when this happened. You know, there were a lot of things that were going on at the time. But that moment, I was awakened to know that I had to make changes. It took me about 2 years to realize what that change was.
And my guess, or at least I should maybe speak for myself, but that process of awareness, it's not like one day the light goes on and then it's smooth sailing from that point on. But it's a lesson, at least, that I have to sort of be reminded of often. And that's why it's important to have people in your life who are there to remind you, and you get to do that for them as well. But it's a process, isn't it? Of, I guess maybe that the thought of gradual sort of awakening is a lifelong process.
Yeah, it really is. And I consider myself still on that awakening process. Mm-hmm. What I know to be true is that if every single day I take one more step and move just a little bit farther down that line, that small things can create the big aha moments. You know, so every day I might make 10 steps, and one of those might be this big, huge awakening, this big aha moment for me that changes everything. But I have to be on that path, and I have to be making those steps to allow that opportunity.
Can you give us a sense, Kenny, because I know that you have so many fans or friends on the Simple Steps Facebook page, and I know most people are there because they both get that this is something that is important, and they're trying to move in that direction. Let's talk about some simple things that people can do, because life is not necessarily always easy. There are lots of things that impact us, loss of job. You talk about a death in your family, relationships that aren't working well. So life is can be intense and complicated, and taking responsibility for yourself sounds easy, but let's talk about the small steps mm-hmm. that occur to you that can get people moving at least.
Yeah. The first thing that I taught myself to do is question everything. No matter what is going on in my life, if it even comes across as somewhat negative, I ask myself, how important is this? For me, if I don't do that, I can get caught in this snowball effect and these little bitty minute problems, if you will, mm-hmm. can turn into this giant snowball yep. and or an avalanche. So I ask myself, how important is this? And then I kind of gauge what I need to do with it from that. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, I think that's a really interesting question. I can imagine asking myself that question and not being 100% clear on what the answer is.
Yeah, and to me, that's an answer in itself. If I'm not sure, then okay, it's not that important. You know, I may have to deal with it, but it's not important enough to me to be able to identify it. So that in itself is an answer for me. I don't have to panic over this, you know, if I cannot identify how important it is.
Well, let's sort of take that thought process and apply it to a relationship that's not going well.
Oh,
obviously,
sure.
If you ask the question, how important is it? The relationship, I guess, if it's not important, you wouldn't be in it.
Well, yeah, I do work with a lot of people who are in relationships because they need to be in a relationship according to them, you know, according to their thought process. But yes, you're right. If you ask yourself that question about the relationship itself, it's probably not that big a deal to move on. As far as issues in the relationship, I have my wife and I, 18 years now with no arguments, have used this one simple philosophy. And it's, we choose to be happy rather than right. I never let anything become more important than the happiness.
And Kenny, what does happiness mean to you? That's the most wide open question I could ever ask anybody. And mm-hmm. it's a tough one to answer, but what does that mean, being happy?
Happiness is a feeling of pure love. And that's love that is built up inside of me, that is overflowing into my life. It is not always aimed at someone else. In the situation with my wife, it is. And it's just, it doesn't mean that we are laughing every moment of every day. It doesn't mean that we are smiling or holding hands or even sitting in the same room with each other. It just means that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my love for her is as pure and as true as it possibly can. And I do not let issues intersect or interrupt that. So that to me is kind of where happiness starts.
But you must have struggles. You must not see eye to eye on everything.
Oh yeah, I mean, we are two totally different people. I'm, you know, I'm pretty crazy sometimes, and she's very subdued. So yes, it does lead to some differences of opinions, and sometimes it means that we you know, collaborate together. We always collaborate and talk about it. Some days we compromise. Some days we just agree that we don't see eye to eye. Some days she goes to the spa and I go for a motorcycle ride.
Okay.
You know,
you're not creating this sense that your relationship doesn't have its ups and downs or good days or bad days. It's
not at all. Not at all. We are two individuals. We are two full, complete individuals that have come together to create this beautiful, cooperative collaboration, if you will, this partnership. And we don't lose ourselves in that partnership.
Kenny, how do you reconcile, you know, the things that seem to be in conflict with happiness, like sadness or the loss of a loved one or the loss of a job, or how do you talk to people that you work with in a coaching relationship or when you're doing a seminar? How do you sort of manage those two very, they seem like they're in conflict, happiness mm-hmm. and the loss of a job?
Yeah, the loss of anything to me, and what I've seen in a lot of my clients, creates a sense of defeat or a sense of questioning their self-worth, their abilities. You know, it causes you to question yourself. And the first thing that I like to do is bring everybody back to their essence. It's, here's the truth about you. And there is a strength in every single one of us. There is a worth in every single one of us. There is ability in every single one of us, without exception. Not all of us can see that. It took, a pretty major seminar for me to see it for the first time in myself. And but I help people get back to that point. Something has gotten you to where you are today. No matter what you've been through, no matter how bad your life has been, something has gotten you to where you are today. That's what we try to discover, and that's what we build upon.
When you reflect back on that, the seminar, that it seemed like that was a pivotal point in mm-hmm. your progression. What about that seminar caught your attention?
It explained to me the difference between essence and ego. The essence being my authenticity, my pure, the gifts that are so pure that nobody can ever take them away from me, versus the ego, which is all of the lies and illusions and dramas that my mind plays. And at first it starts out as an effort to protect me. It's like when you reach up on the stove, you're 2 years old, you reach up towards the stove, your mother slaps your hand and says no, and she's mm-hmm. doing it to protect you from getting burned. Right. Well, our mind, our brain tells us, you're bad. Something's wrong with you. You just got scolded, so you have to be reprimanded. Something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, that gets built up and built up and built up. It covers up our essence. Well, our essence is still there. We just don't always see it. That's what this seminar did for me, was it cracked that surface, allowed me to peel back those layers and to see, this is the truth about me. I'm not that bad little kid that had to get his hand slapped because he reached up at the stove too many times.
All right.
I am actually, you know.
And it sounds like once you sort of were reminded of that essence, even though you might lose sight of it from time to time or during different events happening, you're able to find your way back to that pretty quickly.
Yes. It's the more I practice it, the faster it is. It's been, well, it was 1994 when I went through that seminar. To this day, I still have to remind myself to do that. It's always going to be there. Your ego is a defense mechanism and will always try to take over again. You just have to remind yourself, no, that's not the truth about me.
Kenny, how important are the people in your life in order for you to maintain this sort of level of awareness?
Oh, it's extremely important. And those people range everything from friends that I've met on Facebook who have wonderful pages that have inspirational quotes, to my wife, who I'm with all the time, who, you know, is just kind of my grounding point, to new friends like you and Cheryl and other people that I get to chat with on occasion. It comes in very, very many forms, but it's all equally important. I have to be, you know, I have to surround myself with that, or it's real easy to get caught up in the muck.
And do you have advice for people who find themselves not having those kinds of people around them?
Yeah, find them. Yeah. Find them. It's the most of the reasons I've seen that people do not have people in their lives like this is they are ashamed of what they're going through. They feel like what they are going through is evil or bad or wrong, or, you know, all kinds of different reasons. The truth is there are millions of people who are going through the same exact things that you are. Different situations, a little bit different twist on it, but it's very similar situations. Reach out, find them. You know, for me, I lost my son to SIDS, and I have found five really good pages that I love on Facebook about SIDS. So it's a community of people. Sometimes they try to come together and complain. Well, mm-hmm. Being in my position, I go in and help inspire. And there are many people that do that. I'm not the only one that inspires those who have lost someone.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say there are so many places to reach out. On Facebook, you know, Twitter, and then also in person, you know, find somebody live that you can go to and get a hug. It's powerful.
I couldn't agree more with you. And I think sometimes people who find themselves surrounded by people that are not inspiring them, not encouraging them, not believing in their dreams on their behalf, they feel like their energy has to be put into moving away from those people. And I've learned from my own personal experiences that you don't have to worry so much about moving away from those people if you could just shift your energy to bringing new people into your life. The other people sort of seem to take care of themselves, and that seems to be something that people get really nervous about, moving away from people, when actually if they would just put their energy into attracting and drawing other people into their lives, that seems to work better. Is that your experience?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree totally. You know, it's real easy to get caught up in that moving away from and then get scared and get stuck in a rut. When I work with people, I let them use that getting, you know, moving away from something only long enough to identify what it is they do not want in their life anymore. From there, we'll find the opposite. You know, what am I moving towards? And then our energy goes to that. Sometimes those people that we feel like we need to move away from will see a change in us. They will make a change and follow. So we don't always lose them just because we decide we can't live with that action.
Right. And I guess we can tolerate a certain amount of people that are not as enthusiastic as we might be around us, because that's just part of life. Kenny, one of the things that you do that I know that you do very well is help people discover their unique strengths. And how do you do that? And can you give some suggestions for people who may be listening that are sitting there saying, man, I don't really know what my strengths are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really a unique process per individual. However, it all boils down to patting yourself on the back occasionally. You truly have not, there's not a person on this earth that has not dealt with a difficult situation. If you're still here to talk about it and to listen to this program, you did something that helped you work through that situation. Figure out what that is. You know, was it an inner strength? Was it love for yourself? Was it the ability to trust yourself enough to trust someone else? You know, something inside of you allowed you to work your way through that situation. Grasp hold of that. That right there is going to be one of your core strengths that you can take into your next situation. From that, you will build and you will find others. You know, I have a contract with myself that I learned through this seminar, but I did basically the same process I just described to you. And what it turned out for me is my contract is I am a whole, strong, trusting, and worthy man. And trust me, I say that to myself daily.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a reminder.
Do you have an opportunity to say that to other people too?
Occasionally, I don't walk into a room and say it to a room full of professionals. Right. But depending on the situation, there are times, especially if I run into somebody who's just really dealing with a tough time, I will share that with them, and it does two things. One is it builds me up. It builds them up because they get to see it in somebody else, and it shows them that their road is not at its end. You know, there is more.
So I think that what you're talking about is creating a sense of hope for people.
Exactly, exactly. I believe that we are all powerful enough to create what we want in our lives. I think that if we rely solely on hope, that we cheat ourselves out of using our power. However, hope is extremely important in just knowing there's something more. It's not a place to stop. It's a place. It's a trigger that you can grasp hold of, pull it, and off to the races you go.
And I love that thought. It's a beautiful thought, Kenny. Thank you for that. It's that off to the races, and the races really mean the beginning of taking those small steps, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Tell me what you and Cheryl are working on now.
We are now putting together, and this weekend, in fact, you will see post on the Simple Steps page, Facebook page. We have a free hour and a half long teleclass, if you will, where we're going to start introducing a live, it's going to start out as a 6-week teleclass about her book, the Simple Steps Real Life book, which is available, by the way. She's got a wonderful work of art out there, if you will. So this free class is going to happen 3 times in February. You can go to her page and sign up on that. And then from there, starting the following month, we will start the 6-week long teleclass. And we are hoping that goes live, where we'll be traveling around the country, meeting people face-to-face, and introducing it's about a 2.5-day live seminar. We're still in the process of getting that put together.
I mean, and that's something that's going to be that initial seminar is going to be something that people, the teller seminar, is that people can take advantage of just by going to the Facebook page and signing up.
Yes, they can go to the Facebook page, sign up, and the way this is going to work is they can send us via the email link there. They can send us a question they have for us about how to use Simple Steps to improve their life, or they can talk about an issue, if they will. Cheryl and I are going to choose 3 issues per class, and like I think we have 3 classes lined up now, and may possibly do more. And we're going to choose 3 of those, and we're going to help them work through it using Simple Steps.
You know, Ken, if you can think back like 2 or 3 years ago, I mean, is your life unfolding exactly how you thought it was going to?
No, not at all. Not at all. In a sense, it is. I need to take that back. In a sense, it is, because I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I would have turned helping others realize their dreams into my career. So I have done that. Now, it's taken a different path to do that. What I was doing at that time, 2 or 3 years ago, was all through corporate team building, doing the same thing, helping people realize, you know, a better life. Now it's more through coaching, seminars, writing, and some team building. So it's expanded. It's bigger than I ever dreamed it would be.
If you look back on how things have moved in the last couple of years in very positive ways, I might add. And then as you look forward, have you learned to let go of expectations at all?
as difficult as it is, yes. Yeah, I'm not a pro at that by any means. And to be honest, that's one of the things that I work on daily. I have kind of a little affirmation that I say to myself and one of my pages is called Let Go and Soar. And that's what it's about. It's not so much because I love that title. It's because that's a reminder to me to let go. And when I do let go, I can soar.
Let's talk, because we've just got a couple more minutes left. And I really want to talk to you about people who may be listening to this, who are thinking this sounds really good, but I'm not 100% clear on what my next steps should be.
Your next step is take responsibility for you. That's key. Until you do that, nothing I tell you, nothing Paul tells you, nothing anybody tells you will do any good whatsoever. Take responsibility for you.
And let me interrupt for just a second. What does that mean precisely?
That means I take 100% responsibility for my actions. It does not mean that I take 100% responsibility for what my wife does or what Cheryl does or what Paul does in a situation that I'm involved in. It's taking responsibility for me. It is taking it's taking the steps that I need to take to build the life that I want. I cannot do anything about what anybody else does, only me, and I got to do that 100%.
And then let's say people get to that place where they're willing to do that, they are owning that responsibility, then just tell me the next step, and that'll be enough to get people started.
The next step is to take a step. We get caught up trying to see the whole big picture. We get caught up trying to plan the perfect path. Forget all of that. Life happens. It's going to change. All you need is the next step. Get the vision of what you want. And then just take a step. Ask yourself, is this step going to take me closer or further away? If it's closer, take it. If it's further away, stop. Come up with another step. But it's all about just kind of having that vision, but letting go of the exact path.
Kenny, that is a beautiful way to close today's show. It's been wonderful chatting with you. I love the work that you're doing with Cheryl, and I hope people will go to the website and sign up for your telenow, whatever it's called.
Teleclass,
that's a new one for me. Thanks, Kenny, so much, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Paul.
All right.